In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Our Father, we give you thanks. You are here with us again today in Jesus' name. Let's declare the word of understanding as we begin to study. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That's your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Light will enter your heart.
Amen.
Direction will come to you.
Amen.
Healing on every side.
Amen.
Healing in every area.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Amen.
From the depth of your spirit to the outside your body.
Amen.
Healing in every dimension.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I speak to those eyes. Be clear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak healing to those eyes. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No affliction will hold on to your body.
Amen.
Because Jesus took them to His cross.
Amen.
The affliction has been buried.
Amen.
You resurrected with Him in newness of life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say after me. Say, in my body.
In my body.
Life is walking.
Life is
walking. Say it in
my body.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead
is in me.
Is giving life to my mortal body.
Is giving life to my mortal body.
Is knocking away every affliction.
Every affliction
is being healed.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Let me just say something to you, all right? You have the positive. Now, I'm not talking positive thinking now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about realizing something. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
You know, if you start cooking rice, no matter how hungry you are, you will wait more.
True.
Are you getting my point? Yeah. You rush to your house, you put a, what do you call it now? Pot. Is that not what they call it? I've not cooked in a long time, all right? Don't be angry that I'm forgetting things. So you get to the kitchen, right? Put a pot on the fire. You put rice inside the pot and you put water. You are very hungry. In fact, you are very hungry. But what do you do? Start eating the raw rice. No, what do? You relax. Things often take a process.
Yes.
They take time. But while you are waiting, you are sure it's cooking. You know, no, that's the idea. You know it is cooking. You know it is cooking. Like we say, your transaction is what?
It's processing.
When you get to an ATM, they say, wait. While your transaction is processing. That's the attitude I want Christians to have about prayer. You are praying about something, know that it is working.
Yes,
it may not immediately show, but it is working.
Yes.
It's like you are cooking food. It may take a while, but it's going to get ready.
Yes.
It's very important. You must have that assurance that God is answering your prayer. The mistake Christians make a lot of times, they just believe that it must work now, 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 now. I want to ask you for something now. You sound very surprised. No, I'm not a conventional preacher. Okay, so I'm sure you're used to it by now. This guy, everybody says one thing. He says the other one. All right? When it comes to the area of money, quick wealth, reject it. Say you don't want it. If you go to a church, somebody say, you sow a seed tomorrow, be a millionaire. I say, I don't want to be a millionaire tomorrow. What am I now? A 10-year. A 20 year is okay by tomorrow. Pastor, forget that thing. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So he said, in 1 week you will be a billionaire. Say, Pastor, if I give you a billion, you say you go crazy. If you were not rich before, I give you a billion, you go mad.
Mm-hmm.
Give me food that is convenient for me. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will take the name of the Lord in vain. He said that is the truth. He said, I'll backslide. Backsliding has different levels. You know, God enjoys your prayer. Do you know that?
Yeah.
He enjoys you coming to Him to discuss matters. But when you have too much money, you say, Lord, I'll see you later. Let me handle this one. That's what happens. That's what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. That's an instruction. Listen to it carefully. When it comes to wealth, don't want it quickly. If they say, look, press this button tomorrow, you will no longer be a 10 years before.
Yeah.
You'll now be a multi-millionaire. Say, don't worry, I'm not in a hurry. Say, Pastor, don't worry. Next week, let's do 100. In 1 month, we'll do a few thousands. Listen, that's how it works. That is how it works. Don't be in a hurry. This idea that God must answer me today. Don't worry. The one He will answer, you'll be sure you will not die. Like I tell you all the time, you won't die.
Amen.
Now, that one, let me assure you of that one. You are not going to die.
Amen.
If you're about to die, call me and say,
Pastor Mike, you say I'm not going to die. I'll tell, I'm not even coming to pray for you. Just don't worry, you won't die.
Amen.
You will not die.
Amen.
You are not going to die.
Amen.
There's a saying in Western Nigeria. Say the child that does not die must become an adult. Yes. What it means is that the guy that has not prospered, if he doesn't die, he will prosper. That's one attitude you must have. You are prospering. That is, you are getting better, you are improving, you are, and it's in the area of healing. You are getting better.
Amen.
You know, I I'm in this kind of age. I'm not too old yet. Not as bad as it was last time. I'm hanging between those who call themselves small boys and those who are senior boys. Not all these people like these ones that, you know, I'm going to the senior boy level. And because I'm a doctor, right, I know a lot of things. And I thank God I'm more of a Bible man than I learned medicine. But this was more important to me. There are many things that I was taught long ago. I know the truth. My personal life, I experienced the walking of the word regularly. And you see where I'm going. There was a time, all right, I used to have this pain in my knee. My wife knows about it. I told myself that, you know, there are many, you know, that's why, oh God, if I say this, it surprise some of you. Start rushing to the doctor. Take it easy. What did I say?
Take it easy.
Not every little thing. This place is paining. You want doctor to feel it. Is it a cancer? Yes, it is. Hey, that's what you want to hear. I just told my wife, what's happening? I said, well, maybe it's the way I don't know. For a long, every time it starts paining me, I tell this one. I know what the doctors will tell me, but I'm not going to go there. Every day I talk to it. Then recently I realized that, this guy hasn't talked to me in, I don't know how long. It's been such a long time. That's my attitude. I will find a reason why it is happening. A good reason. What I mean by the reason, like now, is the way I drive. I change the way I drive. If it doesn't go away, I say it's the way I run. If it does go away, I say it's the way I walk. Whatever it is, I will say, this one, you are not a disease of old age. I'm not even old yet. But it's a small boy. One day, one of my colleagues, I saw him. One guy was handing him Igbo. He said, is it Igbo? Okay, it's not Igbo. He's a pharmacist. Handing him a pack. The guy was handing him something. So I said, what is that? Yeah, and the pharmacist said, look, he said, it's cholesterol lowering drug. This guy was my classmate in university. He used to work in Enugu here. So I said, oh boy, you are taking cholesterol lowering drug? He said, you know, just to be careful. The other day they did my ECG. He mentioned something that they saw in the ECG. I felt like saying, what were you looking for on the ECG machine in the first place? Now, this is how people start trouble for themselves. This guy at that time, he must have been in his 40s then. He woke up one day, he's a doctor now. He said, doctors don't take medicine. Believe me, as a doctor, you don't need to take two. It's just you are a normal human being. So boy, he decided, let him prove them wrong. Let him go for tests. So did the ECG and they told him, oh God, the Lord is good. You don't know it's good, you read your Bible. They told him that one spike was in the wrong place. So he decided that, of course, they would tell him he's having maybe ischemic tendencies. So to solve it, the guy go collect all the kinds of Igbo. That's what I call it. One pharmacist now was now supplying him drugs. Drug, whether not cocaine. Just joking. So I look at the guy. What is this you are doing? He said, just wants to be sure. And you are taking cholesterol lowering drug at this age? Do you have high cholesterol level? And the other time, the story starts. I looked at him and shook my head. Believe me, the drug he was buying destroys the pancreas. Oh, people don't know. People don't know these things. I don't want to go there. But me, I'm a very different person. I will tell cholesterol, you're not serious. I'm going to outlive you. That one is for sure. Of course, you know I've outlived that noise of cholesterol. This is how for many years they were telling everybody, if you eat egg, you will die. If you egg, you will die. This guy was eating egg and telling everybody, I am not going to die. You're all witnesses. I said, Lila, I don't believe a word of it. And I had two reasons for not believing them. One, faith reason. Secondly, faith helped me to understand. You see, I have more understanding than my teachers because your testimonies and my meditations. That gave me a lot of understanding. These people are telling lies. Last year, the father said, sorry, it was a mistake. After 30 years. 30 years of telling the whole world, don't go this way. I have a very strong, positive attitude. If I fall sick, first thing I believe, I'm getting well. No, I've fallen sick before, many times. But I have an attitude. I am getting well. If you measure my blood pressure and say it's up, I will have an attitude it's coming down. You can't. Oh, how do I explain it? You can't prove to me. If you come now and say, you saw a big tumor in my head, instantly I believe it is shrinking. It's my attitude though. I am convinced it is getting better. I will exercise the brain until the tumor runs away. But as for me, I won't die for any devil. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
it's the tumor that will die, me, I will live. Yes, it's an attitude. And look, that's why I'm always smiling. How many times do you see me frowning? No, I'm always smiling. I've never believed in my life that I'm getting poorer. Those LEDs, when they will pay at the end of the month, they give us 6,000 naira. I remember very well. And it wasn't big money, it was $70. It was $70. One guy said I should be giving 500 naira every month. So at the end of how many years, he will give me, I've forgotten how much. He said it's insurance. If I don't die, of course, I wasn't planning to die. And the years has passed now, I didn't die. That they will refund this amount of money. So I looked at it. I can't remember the exam, it's been some time, but let's say 150,000. I looked at this guy. I will give you 500 naira every month out of my 6,000 naira. That's like, are you a pastor? Why should I tithe to you? Are you getting my point? You're an insurance company, for goodness sake. You want to collect, in quote, my tithe? Then at the end of how many years, you now give me back how much? 150 or so. I told the guy, I said, you don't understand. By that time, 150 will not be money. And I told him straight. I said, by that time, I said, it's not worth it. I told the guy, I said, look, I'm playing too much for what you're offering. That this 500 naira now, they say you must give to the Lord something that what? Pains you. If 500 naira that time used to pain me. Because on 6,000, 500 naira was heavy. I told the guy, forget it. Now, what am I talking about? I just had this persuasion that forget it, I'm getting richer. I was persuaded. I was poor. I didn't have money. I didn't have anything. But I said, this one, I am going to have more money than what you're offering. And as God lives, by the time the 150 will have matured, I'm not lying. What's there to lie about? By that time, I was now giving 150,000 as offering. Like, okay, something important project is coming up. How much is your contribution? Okay, put me down for 300,000. Write my name down. I'm giving you 250. By the time he was planning to give me, now, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Look, as at then, that time I was asking for my 500 naira. It was more difficult for me to part with the 500 than to part with 150,000 the time he would have given me the money. How did I know it would happen? It was my faith attitude. I said, for me, in my life, the path of the just is shining brighter and brighter. And that's what I'm preaching to you this evening. Have that, life is walking attitude. Life is walking attitude. That's what I'm trying to have. That life is walking attitude. Believe me, it's actually working. Yes, somebody spoke with me in the office for about 2 hours. At the end of the day, I sent a message to my brethren, my chat group. I said, brethren, I realize I don't like negative people. I've not had them around me for a long time. It's people like you I've been talking to for a long time. So we're always on the same frequency. We believe things are getting better. God is getting gooder. It can't get gooder. That's not my point. Yes, what I mean. In manifestation, and after I saw somebody who was picking every error in the environment. Some of these things they forward around. Please, I want to beg you, stop forwarding them. One of our brothers forwarded something today. We're just so upset. What was they forwarded that? What do you call it? What a country. Those what a country kind of things. That Big Brother Africa, 24 million. That's for winner. No, Big Brother Nigeria, 24 million. 48 million for Big Brother Africa. Then whoever wins a Gouda Ultimate Search, 10 million. Then after they now finish, they now turn around and say that Cowbell, 50,000, is it 100,000? This one, the MTN Fame, now 10 million. All those kind of things. And I say, what a country. No wonder we are not moving forward. Education is key. Do you know the truth? Don't forward those things around. They are lies. Everywhere in the world, it's like that. Julia Roberts is what? A professor of what? Of mathematics. Is that what she is? What is she? An actress. Thank you. If she signs for a movie, the movie die make her, it not matter. Once she signs, you pay her $20 million. Julia Roberts' sign-off fee as about, I'm giving a story of nothing less than 7 years ago, was $20 million sign-up. She has not done anything, no. $20 million for her to sign. One day we asked one of our professors, a pathologist came for a conference we had in Ibadan, a workshop. So my colleagues were asking, how much do pathologists earn in the U.S.? He said, if you make it to be a director of a large laboratory, they pay you $500,000 a year. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
A very senior pathologist in the United States gets $500,000 a year. Julia Roberts, one movie, $20 million. It's like that all over the world. There's nothing new in it. Even in America, you heard this out there, Secretary for Housing now. What is his name? Ben Carson. He said, please, start putting the faces of school teachers and scientists on cereal boxes. Because he said, I don't want that they will put musician and basketball, that children are dead, they are not learning again. So what is the big deal about Nigeria? We have not done anything half as bad as those guys have done. So why do people like to spread negativity? They wear away people's face. You read things like that, your faith goes down every day. And they will tell you every day how much, that's the one that irritates me. How Islam is making advance. You see down there, Islam is advancing. Better get up and advance. Let me not start again. Some things I just hear that I get upset. All those negative things, believe me, they wear out your face. When it gets to your phone, let it end there. Read it, delete it. If somewhere you can talk to, tell the person, say, you know no book. You don't know what you're saying. Every time they're trying to show you what's wrong with your society, believe me, they are wearing out your faith. That is why one day I heard the story of one man in one visa lottery. Successful businessman, trader, what he was doing in Nigeria. He had his own shop, had his own business, had a wife and four children. They say, okay, visa lottery. Now you park. Park wife, park everybody, reach America. When they reach there, of course, the way visa lottery used to be, they don't do it anymore. That is, the Nigerians don't play anymore. You have to have like a host. Somebody will receive you. So this is what they received him. You know what they helped him do? Now, this is the reality. The guys have to help. They just helped him settle down. Helped him get a house. As soon as he settled down, all the money will carry come from Nigeria. After a few months, he go finish now. Somebody asked him. So the guy now realized, oh boy, things are not the way I thought. Oh. Somebody now asked him that, why did you even move in the first place? He said, I didn't know it would be like this. By that time, he had become a construction worker. Yeah, carrying, forget the construction worker. That's what you call in America. Here, he's missing. Yes. That is the real name. The guy has started carrying pongong. No, I am not kidding. God in heaven knows I'm not lying. But why am I talking about it? It's all those negative things. They tell you every time, your society is bad, is bad, is bad, is bad. I told one of our brothers came the other day. We've been abroad for a long time. When he came home, he visited a lot of our brethren. He kept on saying something. People are doing well, oh. People are doing well, oh. Ah, they're doing well, oh. He said, you guys are doing well, oh. My wife, like they look, say, bros, you go to America, don't miss it with the sleep for hell. No, it's true. As God was blessing you in America, you think God forgets us in Nigeria? The same God that was blessing you there, he was blessing us here.
Yes, sir.
A friend of mine, he's in the U.S. He used to be in Enugu here, we're all Nigeria together. He went to the U.S. Then one day he came home, and I took him, we had to go around town to go and visit some of his old guys who used to be in the same office. I went to one of the homes here. My father in heaven. The lady asked him, oh boy, when are you coming back? You know what he said? Maybe when I get enough money to build your kind of house. He told me something. He said, when we're going to the house, I remember her husband at that time. He said he'll come to their office and be waiting while they are doing seminar. And they'll be laughing at him. Like, this boy, go and find work. Your wife will just keep you in the car for a long time. When we go to the guy's house, I told him, what are you dealing with? That this guy travels around the world. He said, eh? I said, look, you don't get the point. As you were in America growing, so were they in Nigeria growing. But people tend to be frozen in their minds. They remember when they saw you last.
Yes.
They still want to come and dash you 1,000 naira and you think you'll be happy. Yeah, they remember when they saw you last.
True.
So when they arrive now, you drive to the airport to pick them up. And you stop them there at the mall. You come down, you blow 10,000 bucks to entertain them. They are wondering, what's going on here? When you traveled this, unless sometimes people behave like they don't really believe in God. Because if you really believe in God, if God has blessed you in America, in Europe, Australia, whatever you are, who told you that God does not know how to work in Nigeria? Who told you? What am I trying to say? Listen, have that attitude that God is working in me. Life is working in me. Declare it. Say, life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
Life is working in my finances.
Life is working in my health.
Listen to the word of God. You will be healthier tomorrow, this 24 hours tomorrow, than you are today.
Amen.
And you are not going to die.
Amen.
Listen, let nobody lie to you that you are getting older. Be struggling with the young people. Listen, I read something long ago in Reader's Digest. He said, you know the problem with old men? They are too busy to do things that young people do. That's why they become old. So Reader's Digest, when you are walking on the road, you know, children, if you say, everybody, let's walk on the road, they go to the edge of the gutter and be walking on the edge of the gutter. He said, that's why they have balance. Reader's Digest said, that is why they have balance. But there are the old man, he said, hey, what are you doing there? Junior, come back. So that one come walk on the flat road. Then the child, papa is not looking. He jumps to the edge of the gutter and he's balancing. He's balancing. No, when you tell him to close his eyes, he closes his eyes, there's no problem. When you tell old man close his eyes, he go begin stagger. So Reader's Digest said, it's because so he was encouraging older people that do some of those silly things of children.
Yeah.
When you see a small ledge like that, you to climb on it. When nobody's looking, just carry one leg up and do like this. I read this in Reader's Digest. They were encouraging people that is the problem. But Nelson now said that, what is wrong with you? They say, I'm old. My back, at this age, my back is no longer strong. Yesterday, my wife told me that her back was aching her. I said, baby, there's nothing wrong. You carried load. He said, I can't remember. I did a few things. I said, I punched. I said, this is your muscle is paining. You carried load. I can't remember. I said, just trust me. You carried load. I'm not dragging you to any doctor for it. I've given you what. That's all. That's all your medicine is. You carried load. If it's paining you too much, go and drink Panadol. But that pain, it will go away. Don't make pain look as your friend, you know. My guy, you're around. Where are you going to pay me today? Shoulder. Okay, take the shoulder. Oh, declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Life is working in me. The life of God is working in me.
I'm
healthier today
than
I was yesterday.
I will be healthier
tomorrow. Say, perfect health is my portion. Say,
perfect health is my portion.
I like to say this all the time. Say, age is not a disease.
Age is not a disease.
I don't mean as a joke.
Age is not a disease.
In your life, age is not a disease. Say it, in my life, age is not a disease. Now, age is allowed to do only one thing for you, and that's to make you wise. You will have the wisdom of the aged.
Amen.
That's experience. You know, yesterday, I know, this happened a lot in my house. I'm walking, I see maybe one of my kids, they put a tab. All right, on the table, and they plug it to the wall across to be charging. You know, as an old person, I just go there, I unplug it. Don't I want it to charge? No, the wire is crossing the road. You know, experience just tells you that. Because if you're walking, somebody trips over it, next thing you hear, Samsung will hit the floor. And please, may your Samsung screen not break. You won't say amen. If you are using Samsung, may the screen not break. The screen of Samsung, when it breaks, you will see adults begin crying. Who put this thing here now? No one, I told them not to put it there. And they wonder, why is he crying? He's in a Samsung. So you know those little things, experience. So when you're passing on the road, you know, just see somebody charging something there, you just unplug it. Why? And you don't even talk to anybody. Over time, too, as they grow older, they too, they will learn it.
Yeah.
Those are the little things. You are checking in the room. Who put this thing here? Never might come back. You unplug it. Why? Power surge. You know, little things. That's what age does for you. It accumulates experience in your head. You become wise. You start realizing that you don't need the wedding of the century because somebody will do a better wedding tomorrow. Yes, it's true. One day after my wedding, I regretted buying the shoe I bought. Honestly, it was expensive and I didn't enjoy it after. It pained me on the wedding day. The thing was pinching my leg. You know, you are walking like this. Shoe is pinching. If I have to wear it now, two things I will not buy, those shoes and the shirt I used. I won't buy those two. The money of the day before the wedding, I ran to the market. My friend and I had to go and buy one very nice white shirt. After the wedding, I realized it was of a lower quality than my old white shirt. But they just had this philosophy that your white shirt had to be new. Who said so? To whom? On what occasion? That is what is called the wisdom of the aged.
Yes.
With experience, you just start knowing some things. There are cars who bought those they won't buy now. We just won't bother. You know, the older you get, the more, you know, especially when your head is correct. Not as if, you know, there are old people that have smoke in their head. But I'm talking about normal people. You start knowing things that are important in life. You remember the time you borrowed money to do something. You are still feeling like a fool till today. And that was 18 years ago. You are still feeling stupid. That who told me to borrow that money? You know how much interest you paid. They told them, somebody died. You have to bury your father properly. You know, unless that one day somebody died now. And they come, the guy was trying to borrow money. I said, boy, if you came from where I came from, I don't know about your village, but where I come from, you can bury people any number of times you like. My part of the country. If your father dies, you don't have money, don't worry anybody. Just bury him. Very simple. Just call family people, do church service, do interment. They don't wait. Then the day you hammer, bam! You now say your father has been lying on one side. That's how they do it there now. That is not good. That you need to turn him and arrange him properly. So who will turn two sides, two cows? Who will carry him on this side and another two? You buy goat, buy cow, call the most expensive musician, close the street, and party starts at 7 o'clock and finishes at 7 a.m. And all the white drink and these things flowing. He said, what's happening? He said, because my uncle did that, I remember. He said his father died 12 years before. And my father, all of us, had to go home to go and rebury a man that died 12 years before. So I said, what happened? They said, he's arranging his side. I told that my guy that day, say, boy, you don't need all of this borrowing money. Relax. Two small things. Then when God blesses you, come back home and say, look, you forgot to cover the casket. Time to cover the casket. Well, I said, these are the things that age teaches you. Those are the only things age is supposed to do for you. And of course, the more you read scripture, the wiser you become. When my wife will ask me some questions once in a while, the way I produce answer for her, she'll be wondering, how did they take note of these things? I said, girl, I started studying this Bible. Which are we now? Good. It's exactly 30 years ago. I began in 87. I'm not talking about the one I read in secondary school. But I mean, like, the Bible now became my own. I was reading Christian literature. By that time, I was a second, third year medical student at the University of Benin. That was second year. I now began to read scripture, 87. It's 30 years this year. I never broke it one moment. I've read the Bible constantly for 30 years. That's why I don't fear anybody again. Big man, if you tell yourself, God, that thing's a lie. I take no. Bring your Bible. May I bring my own too? Yeah. That's what age does for you. Are you getting my point? That's what age does for you. That's all the Lord said is allowed to do for you. He allows you to grow gray. You know why? So that they will know you are wise. That's what the Bible says. But listen, age does not make you forget. Say amen to that too.
Amen.
It doesn't make you weak.
Amen.
It doesn't make you bend.
Amen.
It doesn't make you blind.
Amen.
It doesn't make you sick.
Amen.
Age does not make you malfunction.
Amen.
It doesn't make you wee-wee on yourself.
Amen.
Listen to me. Age does not enlarge your prostate, men.
Amen.
It does not. Listen to me. Age does not say you stop being beautiful, women. That's a matter of fact. As an old woman, kings were still fighting over Sarah. The only thing I have found from my Bible that age is allowed to do for you is make you wise. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Doctors will tell you the older you get, your bones become thin. Now, reject it now. Say, I reject it.
I reject
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I reject it.
I reject.
Say, my bones will not become weak.
My bones will not become weak.
I said the other time, let's read the Bible and know Bible stories. So that we know the acts of God. What I've said is a matter of fact. The acts of these things are not, they're not stories, though. What I mean, they're not just folk tales. They really happened.
Yeah.
I like the man Caleb. At the age of 40, he was a particular strength. At the age of 85, the same strength. And he told his brother Joshua, look, all I need is just your instruction. Just say, go ahead. Once I hear that, go ahead, just watch me. At the age of 85, he led a charge against giants. Age is not allowed to make you weak. It's not allowed to make you sick.
Amen.
It's not allowed to make your bones brittle.
Amen.
It doesn't make you forget.
Amen.
The only reason why you might forget as a normal old person blessed by God is when you have so many things in your mind. No children don't think about many things. Children are just talking about book in school. Who pays for DSTV? And that's all. And you know, children, the way they know some things, that you'll be wondering, are these people smarter than me? My kids will pick my tab and be showing me instructions on a game. And this game, you know, they don't come with instructions. They will decode everything. So after a while, I start wondering, these are no notebook again. You know book. It's not like you don't know book again, but you have rechanneled the brain. There are so many other things to do. But this brain is getting smarter in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your brain is getting sharper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Age is not making you forget. No, Amen. It's not allowed to. It's not allowed to. The only thing age is allowed to do for you is to make you wise.
Amen.
That is the only thing it's allowed to do for you. So declare, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
From the top of my head,
to
the soles of my feet.
Life is working in my brain.
I don't become forgetful.
Listen,
amnesia is not your portion.
Amen.
Dementia is not your portion.
Amen.
People start making, you know, sometimes I read their BBC health news and all of that. I just read some of the things they say there. I just shake my head. They will predict that the number of cases of Alzheimer's in UK is going to triple over the next how many years. And they will soon come to Africa and start showing us that we have Alzheimer's too. All those kind of stories. When they are saying it, I just start shaking my head. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, me, I reject it. I say, it will not be my portion.
Amen.
At the age of 90, I will do arm wrestling with my grandchildren.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I will defeat them. They had better go and walk out. They start calling that strong grandpa. I say, grandpa, if you guy mend you, that is that. No, really. What is it? Can there be these things? Look, Paul said, I want to know him and the power of what? His resurrection. That's what we need in life. You know, that God, let his power we read about in the book. Let it occur in our lives. In your life, I curse diabetes in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not be diabetic.
Amen.
Let nobody say it's because you are old. No, you, life is working in you.
Amen.
I speak to that pancreas. Work properly.
Amen.
You are working for a child of God. Wake up and do your job.
Amen.
You are part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is inside your pancreas. Wake up and live.
Amen.
I'm speaking to somebody's pancreas. I say, wake up and live.
Amen.
Doctors will tell you that it's getting older, it starts getting... I know all the English, believe me. I know the English they speak. If I started here now, I don't want to start harassing your soul with the English we speak there. One time I read that, I said, this is death walking. You know, look, I used to tell people those things. I said, look, they said I should come and do autopsy. Somebody died and look at their faces. I know they are looking for the witch that killed the person. So I would tell them, say, listen, I can do autopsy and know what killed your person. But I will not be able to say whether it's witch that sent it. I said, but the arrow of the witch, trust me, I will find it. Of course, you get there, the arrow of the witch is acute left ventricular failure. Which of the witches? I told you, I don't know. The fact that you have identified the physical thing does not mean it is not life, it is not death that is working.
Yeah.
Death is a principle, it works. It's a principle. It latches onto somebody, it starts wearing the person down, bit by bit, start blocking the arteries, starts blocking the vessels, crippling the nerves, weakening the bones. It's the principle of death working. So what the child of God needs to do is reject it and bring life into his system. That's why I speak to that pancreas. Age is not the problem, it's death that is the problem. And we are seen as believers. We have the spirit of Christ in us. That spirit has given life to that pancreas.
Amen.
Listen again, I want to speak to somebody's pancreas, which is where they say insulin is coming from, to prevent the person from being diabetic. I speak to that pancreas, you are walking in the temple of the Holy Spirit. I therefore command you, wake up and live.
Amen.
Wake up and live.
Amen.
The spirit of life is working in you. Therefore, diabetes is dead in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our urine goes back to normal.
Amen.
Your metabolism goes back to normal.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, old age. Everybody say,
old age
is not a disease. Say,
old age
is a blessing.
It's a blessing.
Say,
I am blessed
with every spiritual blessing. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say it again. I have been blessed. And I am blessed.
I have been blessed.
And now I am blessed. Say
the blessing of God is making me rich.
Say it. In my health,
I'm getting richer.
Financially,
I'm getting richer.
In understanding,
I am getting richer.
In the function of life,
in every area,
I am getting richer
Because I have the blessing with me. Say it again. Say, the blessing is with me.
The blessing
is in me.
It is working.
Life is working.
Please
just take a minute or two and thank the Lord. All right? Just thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because life is working. Jesus paid for it. It's not free. Jesus paid for it. Say, my immune system is working. Life is working in my immune system. I'm able to fight every affliction. I'm able to fight every infection. I'm able to fight every disorder. Because my immune system, life is working in it. Say, I receive life. Jesus died that I might have life. And I have it abundantly. That life is working in me. Begin to give him thanks. Give him thanks. Oh, Derek Prince will always emphasize that you should always say thank you. That if you believe it, you will say thank you. Oh, the reference always saying that thing. He said, if you believe it, you will say thank you. Begin to give the Lord thanks, everybody. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just be thanking him. Thank him. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because life is working in me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Oh, I'm moving towards life. That is, life is dragging me towards perfection. Perfect healing. Perfect understanding. Perfect functioning. Perfect insight. Perfect vision. Speak to your eyes, oh. These eyes, you will not degenerate. You will not have cataracts. I will not become short-sighted or long-sighted. My retina will not degenerate. Ah, doctors magnify these works of death as if it's a normal thing. And Christians accept it as if it is normal. No, we fight it all the time. Say, death, you will not walk in me. Life, you will walk in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me now. And is giving life to my mortal body. He said, if the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Say, I have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Believe me, even in old age, you can bear children. That's what the Bible says. It's clear. I have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Spirit of God is in me, is giving life to my mortal body. Because of righteousness, the Spirit of Christ is in me, is giving life to my mortal body. In me, life is working. Everybody declare, say, I have passed out of death. You know, that's one of the scriptures I learned very early in life as a believer. John chapter 5. He said, I have passed out of death. He said, let me just read. I feel like reading it. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, you can quickly join me there. John chapter 5. One of those earlier scriptures that we read. Those days. He said, truly, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Now, to believe, of course, we've talked about it, is to hold on fast. To keep his constant gaze on him. He said he has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into what?
Life.
Has passed out of death into
life.
Now, I want to ask a question. If you are here and you are hearing the word of God, give me amen.
Amen.
If you are here and you believe in Christ, give me an amen.
Amen.
Now, what does that say concerning you? It means you have eternal life.
Yes.
And you have passed out of death. And you are passing to what?
Life.
Now begin to declare, say, in the name of Jesus,
I have eternal life.
I have passed out of death. And I have passed into life.
I have passed out of death.
I have passed into life.
Because I have eternal life.
Say, now,
I have eternal life.
Because of eternal life.
Because of eternal life.
I walk above sin.
I walk above the devil.
I am healed
from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Said,
I am healed
from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
I
keep on saying this thing to people. Somebody needs to hear it again. No witch can curse you. Stop praying about them. It's even enough. I have never raised prayer point about witch. Why will I do that? And I hear me say it, I'm preaching. I'm just trying to tell people. Near success syndrome is called ignorance syndrome. Forget that. If you have understanding, near success will leave you alone.
And believe me, even Warren Buffett has had near success syndrome. Warren Buffett says it's not every business that works. Why are you making it look like near success syndrome is unique to you? You know what the Bible says about success? Say the righteous man will try 7 times and 6 of them may not work. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
He will fall 7 times, then the Lord will raise him up. So what's the big deal? It's like every time I do a business, it doesn't work. Even Robert Kiyosaki said, always value the lesson. Yeah, look, there are many businesses you by the time, if you ever watch this series, you should watch this reality show, Shark Tank. If you can lay your hands on it, watch it. You learn a lot. Look, you can get an MBA. If you get like 6 seasons of Shark Tank, get like 8 seasons. Sit down, watch from beginning to the end. You will know as much as somebody who did an MBA. Yeah, anything they say, write it down, go and investigate it. In a year of watching Shark Tank, you have your own MBA. So when you are watching those programs, they will tell you that, listen, these are investors. They sit down. It's the same thing. That's the American version of Dragon's Den. All right? They sit down. You present your proposal and everything, your plan, everything. A lot of times, and the one guy there, like him, Mark Cuban, he's he's a billionaire. Apart from being a billionaire, the guy is very, very intelligent. You know, he knows a lot of stuff. They will analyze your business for you and show you where, this is not the work. But when you were coming, you were so sure it would work. That's why you came. Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary will tell you, say, oh boy, go and shoot that thing. That thing has no prospect. Now, what I'm talking about is that when you were coming, you were so sure it would work. I'm not saying they are the word of God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not going to say that even in normal life, those who have done business, they know that most people that start businesses, the businesses are not viable. So it is not as if there's a spirit specially worrying them. It's something that is common. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So if one doesn't work, you will have learned some experience from it and you move to the next one. Don't turn yourself, this victim mentality. It is because a witch says, I will not succeed. How can a witch say you will not succeed? If you are a son of mine, little boy in my house, I will flog you for that statement. That you don't know the child of who you are. There are statements you don't make if you are a child of God. People who say that my auntie says, I will not marry. That's the most stupid thing you can say. If you go to a church where they tell you that, find another church. You are being pastored by a man that knows nothing. He sits down with you and he praying. That the auntie that says you will not marry. Today. Pack your Bible, say, Pastor, go to school. Go out to the Bible school. No, it's not their fault. When all of them are following TV Joshua, why won't they say things like that? No, man of God. Many of these pastors stay in their homes. They stay in their homes, they are watching TV Joshua. I have never seen a greater drama like that. It is obviously a scripted show. Men who claim they are called to ministry will be watching. There are pastors that their mentor is TB Joshua. Ha! May God deliver that your blind pastor.
Amen.
And for you, better deliver yourself first. Find another church. They will not go there. Somebody will be telling them that, today I want to thank the man of God. I have never, once in my life, seen that. So tell somebody, say, give your life to Christ. Your sin is what is pursuing you. It is always mommy water spirit. Where did you come from? I come from the Atlantic. I'm supposed to destroy. I'm a destroy. And you will see them going there. And you will be selling them expensive holy water. You know, human beings like to be mugged. You know, they to mugged somebody.
Yeah.
They muggunize their life. They drop. Let me tell you, in case you do not know it. I know what I'm saying. A witch can never. And they know. They know. They can never utter a word against a child of God and expect it to stand. Listen to me. God is my witness. They know. Most of those witches you hear about, now scripts, now movie. The real witches, they know how far. The real ones. Who won that? God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, I considered him very carefully and I kept my distance. Before Satan could go near Job, he and God had to discuss. God had to withdraw the DSS around him. No, he had to withdraw the DSS around Job. I said, guys, leave Job. They pulled back. They were around his family. They pulled back from around his businesses. pulled back from among his children and surrounded only Job. So that was when Satan went, took out his business, took out his children. But that Satan did not go near Job himself. He now went back to God. God said, how far? He said, the guy is very smart. He's maintaining his integrity because he's intact. So he told the DSS, you guys move. Move away from the flesh of Job. Guard only his spirit. He can't die now. That affliction could not kill Job. At the end of the day, God said, boys, return to your duty posts. He now released what they call the recovery angels. Recover things for him. In a short while, Job was as rich as he was before, and he had the same number of children that he had before. I hope you are getting my point here.
Yes,
so let nobody come and deceive you that a witch said that you will not make progress. Believe me, they don't say it. They can't say it. They know. If any witch is trying to say it, is not a real witch. Or they don't sack him. Used to be a witch, no book again. The ones that are still in business, they don't bother. They don't bother. They know. They are aware of it. One day, one of our sisters gave us a testimony. And interesting story. No, not something that she explained. Somebody told village, you know, real village, village witch. Or this real one. That one told them that if they want to do anything, that they work like this. They go to a particular realm, and they call the realm of light, to obtain permission for anything they want to do. And I said, this is not what we've been preaching for a long time. People will not tell you that a witch got up and they went, listen, these are people, they are not believers. The man they are following is not born again. Does a whole mess of joke. Listen, if you're a child of God, I know what I'm saying. If you're a child of God, even Satan knows. The head of the occult, they know. Ogoni people, they know. I told you, I heard a man in Benin, a Benin prince. He said that if you have been in the occult, you know the hierarchy in spiritual realm. That you will know it. Ah, those are the ones who used to watch all the Yoruba films. It was very interesting. But he would say something's around. He would just know. Ah! Some of them would just die in peace. Say, a senior guy has arrived. They just say there's no need. This man is too powerful. They just lie down there and die. And that one will take over. Yeah, look, the Lord is good. Let me just summarize it. Don't worry. Tell your neighbor, don't worry. It's not even a prayer point. Say witches, forces of darkness, they are not even prayer points. No witch. I keep on saying, witches don't share husbands, so they can't decide who gets, who does not get. I hope we are clear.
Yes, sir.
I'm not lying to you. This is exactly how I live my life. If you want to pray, in fact, all these months of teaching the word of God, I've narrowed my prayer to just two things. And that's what I was going to share this evening. But first, let's just declare the word first. One to pray is just two things. One, you put the name of God somewhere and you lift the rod of God over something. That's all. I don't know any other prayer. Let's read this quickly. Because sit down, please. Luke chapter 18. This is one portion of the Bible that we have read here, so of course, our school of prayer, so we read this a lot. He said, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. I'm not going to read much more than that. He said he was showing them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Let me just read only that verse. King James says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Open also to the book of Romans chapter 12. Oh, that one is even very easy to remember. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. That's where we're going. But I'd like to just take back up slightly, verse 9. Paul was writing there. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now notice this, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer.
That's why I'm reading this. He said, devoted to prayer. Now, I just want to pick on these two. He said, one, we ought to pray always and not to lose heart. We ought to pray always and not to lose heart. And Paul now picked up later and said, everybody be devoted to prayer. I want to just remind us briefly of what prayer is. In fact, I felt like starting today, but maybe we may start next time. I just look on that topic, talking about effective prayer. Just find out, you know, when you have to take on the same topic, you keep manipulating words. At the end of the day, you say the same thing. And I'm not ashamed of saying the same thing. Oh, Ken Hagin said the same thing for 60 years. I've not even done 20 years saying the same thing as a preacher. So I still have another 40-something years to say the same thing. The Lord is good. Yes, it keeps on bringing. The job of a preacher, actually, is to continue to, you know, infuse the spirit. It's not really the words. It's the spirit you are infusing into people. That's what helps them to burn. Christians can't burn with the light of God except the oil of God is being poured into them. And they must always be, you know, those two olive trees, which are the prophets that stand before the Lord of hosts, you understand? And they channel their oil into the lamps, and that is when the lamp can burn. So we keep on saying the same things, all right? But now what I want to bring out from here again is this. Now God said, Jesus was speaking that we must always pray and not to lose heart. And Paul said we must be devoted to prayer. And if it's like that, prayer is the way many of us think about it, then it's difficult. It's difficult because even if you have all the needs in this world, by the time you spend 1 hour reciting them, you will have gone through all of them. And then when you do the second hour, you now call it what? Vain repetition. So you see, you are not in trouble. What's vain repetition? Repeating the same needs to God again and again. Repetition is not what is a problem. It is when you are doing what they call vain repetition. There are repetitions that are not vain. The other time we read from Psalm 136, you saw David there, plenty repetition, but it was not vain. Now, I'm not saying you should open, I just want to refer to it. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, the God of God, that's repetition, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Every verse has, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Every verse has, for his loving kindness is everlasting, until you get to verse 26. 26 verses, repeating the same thing. That's not vain repetition. What is vain repetition, I'll tell you. Father God, I need a new shirt, in Jesus' name, amen. Father God, a new shirt is needed, in Jesus' name, amen. Father God, supply a new shirt. Bring to be a new shirt. Let a new shirt manifest in my wardrobe. Let somebody send me a new shirt. New shirt, come. New shirt, that is vain repetition. You know why? Jesus said, your Father knows you know you need a new shirt. Are you getting my point? That is vain repetition. Vain repetition is when you take a need, and that same need is what you are telling God, hey, that thing I was discussing now. What? That new shirt. I was thinking, maybe it should be yellow. But no, Lord, change it to brown. Next, you say, hey, Lord, say, today is the day of receiving new shirt. And I receive it today in Jesus' name. New shirt, come, new shirt. I draw you. You are a Van Heusen. Van Heusen. Let me spell Van Heusen for you. V-A-A. You know? Why? I picture a new shirt. It's called vain repetition. How do I know it's vain? Jesus said, your Father knows you need these things already before you ask him. That's what makes it vain. So if men will pray at all times and not get tired, what would they be saying? What would they be saying? Jesus said something. He said, you abide in me, and my words do what? Abide in you. I have found out that the simple thing about prayer is the word that is abiding in you that is erupting from your mouth. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's what prayer is. If I wake up in the morning, I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I repeat that. Then I'm entering the bathroom, I go by it again. I come back into the room, I go by it again. I'm entering my car after dressing and go by it again. It's not vain repetition. I'm uttering the word of God. It is not vain repetition. If I put the word of God on my lips and I utter that word 500,000 times a week, it is not vain repetition. If I take Psalm 136 and I put that thing on my lips all the time, it is not vain repetition. If I take Isaiah chapter 53 and I recite it from beginning to the end and I do it 50 times a day, it is not vain repetition. In fact,
Paul said like this in that Colossians chapter 3. He said, let the word of Christ do what? Dwell richly in you. Then you open your mouth and the word begins to erupt. You speak in psalms and songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me say something about that briefly. You know, one day I was thinking that why do people sing? And I realized God gave us songs so that we can repeat. Oh, yes. That's why he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then what do you now do? You start speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because just opening your mouth and declaring words can be difficult. But if you start singing, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all the earth. You can do that thing for 1 hour. No, your neighbors are not tired. Your children are not tired. Nobody is tired. You are not tired. You are even washing your car quicker. For the Lord is a great... Are you getting my point? You are singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why God gave us songs. It's to make repeating the word easy. It's to make repetition enjoyable. Is to make repetition flow. Is to make you look forward to the next repetition. One of the keys of life, eh? Songs play by themselves in your head. You know that? Yes. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yes. If you sit down and you watch any musical, anything, or listen to it, after a while, it starts playing in your head.
Yes.
In fact, my wife said, one day she wanted to pray with the children. Then let's take a song. A song of worship. You know what she started saying? You have all it takes to be why? When you call people she said she had to catch her sister. What is going on here? I mean, is it color tune they call it? And that's why if you have a color tune, good enough, my phone, you know, different phones have different technologies inside. My own phone vibrates when you pick the call. So if I call you, as I start hearing one song, I carry it, I just hold it like this. When you pick the call, the phone will vibrate, so I now know you have picked the call. What I told you is a matter of, I don't want to fill my head with music. Don't feel. You have to that she, in fact, she has opened her mouth, you have all it. Say, eh? Because of what? Colour tune. I'm not kidding, no. There are people I call. Those days, I remember one person now. There are people that I call. Once I call them, I don't put the phone in my ears. Because I know they are colour tune. Because I know it will print in my mind. It's subconscious. You start singing. You know, some people say they are dreaming dreams. I have to be very careful. Our book, what do you call it? Guided by the Spirit. We talked about it in the book. Many people dream. It's just from too much. It's just what you see. Then I said, I dreamt. What did I dream? I dreamt that witches were flying all around the house. What does it mean? I know what it means. You were watching Mama G. You know, she's a witch in half of her movies. At least a wicked woman in most of her movies. When you watch her money after her night, she will come and act drama for you when you are sleeping. You know, if you were the one, won't you act drama for your friends? Are you getting my point? You watch her money, they will act drama for you when you are sleeping. What I'm saying this, eh? This is a practical tip about life. Be careful the kind of songs that play to you again and again. If it's something you don't want to play by itself in your mind, get rid of it. Literally, Christian music is good. Don't get Christian music. You will answer me today. No, forget that one. That's not a good Christian music. So the fact that they are calling, they are praying, forget that thing. Get songs. This is Nathaniel Bassey, the one we heard. Oh, no. The guy is sent by God. The Bible is sent by God. The day I heard Chris Delvan for the first time, I fell in love with him the second time. That instantly. There are songs you will hear. If you listen to them before you sleep, you must dream good dreams. You will dream that angels came to your house and they cooked lunch for you and you ate the food and they took you on a tour of heaven. But if you start listening to all the spirits, Unkubus and Sukubus, this year, you will scatter. Believe me, you will fight all the night in your dream. Throughout at night, you and spirit will be fighting. When you wake up in the morning, you are exhausted. Your wife is wondering, did you travel at night? No, I'm very, very... No. The Lord is good. What am I saying? Real prayer, that's what I'm talking about. Real prayer is not about repeating your needs to God all the time. Identify his words. Put those words on your lips constantly. If the words have to become a song,
put them on your lips and utter them all the time. That's real prayer. When they say men ought always to pray, that is why you can pray all the time. Do you know the truth? When Jesus went to the garden, I just realized the other day, you know, when he was saying, let this cup pass over me, nevertheless. No, nevertheless, not thy will. Not my will, but thy be done. You know, it's a verse of scripture. It wasn't, he didn't invent it there. It was what he had imbibed from the Psalms. That was what he took to God in prayer. I come in the volume of the books it is written of me to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. That thing is there, Psalm 40. That was what he was repeating to God. Before those disciples said that the Lord prayed all night, I used to wonder, what was he saying all night? Is now we understand at least a bit of it, what he must have been saying all night. The word, see, you know what God said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, there's something about it. It's a constant feeding. It is not, okay, I ate bread last week, I'm okay. The food I ate yesterday, today it has gone down in intensity. You know that? I had to eat another one this morning. When I get home this evening, I had to eat again. That is the same thing with the word of God. We are the constant, it's not as if we just utter one word. The Bible says he upholds all things. Did you notice that? How does he do it? He does what? He upholds all things by the word of his power. That means that word is constantly flowing. It is a constant uttering of the word that we are talking about. It must be a constant habit. That's why, listen, I say it all the time. All these chat groups that are forwarding negative things, just leave them alone. What they are doing, my brother and I talked about it today, is that they are wearing out your faith. They keep on putting negative things in your face, they are wearing down your faith. No, that's what they are doing. And like we said when we're talking about total faith, faith is a tangible substance. It's like you put in a bucket, it leaks, it evaporates. You use it, it gets finished. No, that's how faith is. You had faith last year, you're a big man of faith, great man of faith, you spoke to mountains and they disappeared. It doesn't mean you will do it today and they will answer you. The persuasion you had yesterday will win. When things that didn't scare you before start scaring you, faith is down. That's how spiritual things are. So what you're supposed to do is keep on building yourself up on that faith matter. And how do it? You keep on praying the word of God. That's how we pray all the time. I said, I've narrowed prayer to two things. That's been my experience over the last year or two now. That's teaching on this prayer matter. It's just two things. One, you put God's word out there all the time. Prayer is not your desire. Prayer is what God has spoken. For him to effect what he has spoken, he needs a child of his. Somebody who has that prophetic, now, I don't mean somebody called the minister of a prophet. I mean somebody who's doing the prophetic function of uttering the word of God into the atmosphere. The person must get up and do it constantly. For example, in Nigeria, very, very good example. People can constantly barrage your mind with everything negative and you become a complainer. What you don't realize is that when you become a complainer, you have reduced the number of soldiers in this battle. Yes. We are in a war. It's warfare. We are fighting. All these rubbish things people consider up and down, all this, look at this country. Like somebody said, the government is corrupt. I said, you know, you can thank God for anything, you know that. The government is corrupt. I said, it's because you're in Nigeria. Go to Libya, you won't worry about corruption in government. You'll be wanting government at all costs. Just give me one government. He said they will steal your money. Let them steal it. And then there will be government. You go to Somalia, you'll be thanking God, Lord, please send us government. Because Al-Shabaab is not letting go. I mean, Somalia had how many warring warlords for a long time until the African Union finally helped them establish one. Now, Al-Shabaab will not let that one rest. So you have a corrupt government. Thank God you have a government at all. He said, power is not constant. I said, have you noticed that it's because you have a switch? If you were homeless, who cares whether power is constant or power is not constant? I saw one video the other day. Somebody said I should watch it. One woman used to keep dog food outside for her dog to eat. But now the dog food was getting finished fast. Every time she comes, dog food don't finish. So she went and hid somewhere to check which dog is coming to eat my dog food. Now I found one guy just hanging out there. Once the guy says, no bingo around, the guy go rich. So the woman said, hey, you're eating my dog food. The guy said, sorry, don't call the police.
Why are you eating dog food? Say, I've not had a decent meal in months. Or is it in weeks, he said. You know, in America, where Europe, where light is constant, homeless people don't care. Because there's no switch under the cardboard where he's sleeping. So if you see that power is not constant, once you notice it, Lord, that's proof that I have a house I go to. There's a place where I flip the switch to check whether they are there. Whether power, are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? When we focus on the negative things, actually, we are recruited. Please, I keep on recommending this book. Go and read it. Rejoiners Final Quest. Because when people are fighting for Satan, they don't realize it. They are not fighting Satan. They are fighting for him. Why? They join complainers, grumblers. What is APC up to? The central government does not care about the rest of the people. That's negative words. But what are we supposed to do as believers? Take a country like ours. It is our duty to utter the order of God into the country. He said the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. But now these children of God were moving over the surface of the waters. Do you understand my point? Did you see the way I read that? Then they discovered what God wanted to do. And then they said, Nigeria, hear the word of God. Order be. Let there be light. They are the ones that speak light into existence. You are getting my point? They speak it into existence. They don't, it's not, they are not commentators. They are prophets. And one thing we said at that time, let me repeat it again. They said it for 1 year, it hasn't worked. Don't ever forget this. You know, we said one thing, we released off the rod of God. Moses did not, look, go and read your Bible well. Moses did not divide, you know, when we were young, we thought Moses took the staff and did Elijah on the Red Sea. Did Elijah zone? Where is the God of Elijah? I lie. Moses got there. Where are we going to pass? All right, we are going to move from here to the other end. All right, fine. Everybody stay behind me. And he lifted up his rod over the waters. And he kept that thing lifted for hours. Read your Bible. The man kept the rod lifted for hours. And that rod lifted started commanding the currents around, the wind around. That rod lifted, moved the wind, and they started beating up against the water. Believe me, if Moses had taken it down, the breeze would have gone down. What would Moses do? He would lift it up again. He had to lift it up until the wind, the sea would part completely. And the way God designed it, once it has parted completely, that's when Moses can now relax and people can start passing. What am I saying? You know what happens a lot of times? We will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Then God will answer prayers. They will prosper. Then, you know, we cannot be buying fine cars for our pastors. We church members can be traveling everywhere. Then we become complacent. Messages that used to ignite us to dangerous praying. I don't mean demon. What do I say? I don't mean witches chasing praying. I mean real prayer that brings down the power of God. Prayer that people will kneel down and pray for a country and God will be forced to hear. Instead of those messages, and I say 17 keys to effective entrepreneurship on Sunday morning. The diet to change your life. Today, the Spirit of God is not upon me to share this morning, so we have brought Brother Okemute. He's an expert in dietary matters. And Okemute will stand and say, amen. How many of you ate cucumbers today? How many of you ate cucumbers today on Sunday morning? And they will be there nodding, yeah. Christians don't know how to eat a balanced diet. The economy starts spoiling. You know why God let the economy spoil? He said, these boys are going mental. Then when they become hungry, when they've tried all the principles of doing business and diet, and they are still sick and they are still broke, then they will move the old order aside. Then pastor will dust his books on faith. The books on the Holy Spirit. The books on prayer. The books on righteousness and holiness. He'll begin to teach from that those areas again. Then people are stimulated again to effective prayer. If I say this will make you laugh, the international price of crude will start climbing in response to their prayer. Anytime you prosper, be careful. Everything has dangers. Oh, everything has dangers. That is why God said, thou shalt remember.
Why? You are likely to forget. Forgetting is the natural thing that happens when you prosper. You will forget where the prosperity came from. Because anytime God wants to bless you, you know, God doesn't do these funny miracles that people are expecting. No. What he does, when he wants to bless, the blessing, when it has manifested, it looks reasonable. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You will see that it was when, maybe you used to earn, let's say, 15,000 naira a month, and you was meeting all your needs, but you were finishing it. Then when God wanted to bless you, somebody told you that don't eat everything, manage, keep 5,000 aside. You did that for about 5 months. You had 25,000. Then you bought something. You broke it to pieces. You sold it. It became 30. Are you getting my point? Then from that 30, you did it again. It became 50. You did it again. Then you rented the shop. Then you got 2 salespeople. Then you began to manufacture. After some time, you realize what's happening. You have 15 members of staff. You're a multi-millionaire. They are selling your goods in ShopRite, in Game, in Ogbete Market, and all of that. And they notice something. You can trace it back how it came. That's the danger. That is the danger. At that time, you built a massive house in GRA. You have fine state-of-the-art cars. Your wife and your children, they go for, anytime they are on holiday, they've disappeared out of the country. And then the church will now invite you. Okemute, you're in trouble today. You see, Brother Okemute, he's been a successful entrepreneur. You know, all of us have learned to pronounce entrepreneur now. So he will now say the 7 keys to breakthrough. 1, you know, he's not a preacher, so he talks slowly. 1, don't eat all your money. Everybody say, don't eat all your money. Then they write it down. Pull something aside. Then look for something that you can buy in bulk and break to pieces and sell. Amen? Amen. Then when you start selling, remember to increase sales. Amen? Then they go on like that. The guy will speak. All the young men will be writing. They're writing. 99 out of 100 of them get what? Nothing. Do you know why? The man has forgotten. It is the Lord his God that gave him power to get wealth. He has forgotten. The same, another person, God gave that power. Didn't save Jack. Oh, didn't save anything. That one was going on the road one day. Somebody said he saw a man whose tire was down and looked at the man. See the man well dressed. The man about to jack the tires. He just felt like, sir, you shouldn't be jacking tires. Look at your shirt. Look at, in fact, you look expensive, sir. Don't. Please wait. And this man, maybe the guy may be just a little older than him. I mean, like the smart guy looking a little older than this struggling guy. So this other man is so impressed that, this guy is so humble. What do you do? They talk, you know, they just get to know each other. Oh, here's my card. If ever you are passing by, let's see you. Then that guy starts by one day. I was near your office. Oh, then along the line, I said, can you do this? Yes, I can. Now, the guy really likes him. He gives him a job for their company to do. What is the job? Just go to nature, buy something and supply. 15% markup. Except that you're talking 2.5 million naira. For a struggling man, that's not bad pay. Before he knows what was happening, the whole world is deceived by God into thinking this guy is an expert in purchasing things. Everybody gives him advance pay. Before he knows what's happening, he's a major supplier of something that he doesn't manufacture. Someone has said, don't go to nature again. At this level of business, you can bring from China. There's a part that only comes from Europe. Next thing you know, he has a business that's worth hundreds of millions. Then pastor carries him to church also. Give us the keys of success. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Open your eyes for how you can help people. And make sure you always deliver. Because if you don't deliver, next time they won't give you the job. Amen?
Amen.
He has forgotten. It is the Lord, his God, that giveth him power to get wealth. What am I going to say? Every time God blesses people, they will have a story to tell. But the story is not the source of blessing. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The story is not the source. When you too, you are blessed, you have your own story to tell. I like to quote one of the most successful entrepreneurs, though not a Christian, of all time, Steve Jobs. You know what Steve Jobs said? He said, nobody can connect the dots going forward. That you can only connect the dots of life looking backwards. He says, so when you start in life, just believe in something. That's what Steve Jobs said. How did Apple make it? All of us said, the man said, forget that thing. It's when we have made it, we look back now, we're not telling stories. When we're trying, we didn't know where we're going. And believe me, many people also tried and failed because God did not command a blessing for them. That is the danger. That's what I was talking about. When God has blessed people, they always have a story that looks predictable to tell. But hear the word of God, that's not the source of the blessing. That's why Christians, that's what I'm talking about. Let's not be carried away by our successes. Let's not be carried away by our breakthroughs. Let's not be carried away by our victories. Let's remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. What am I trying to say? In the time of adversity, in the time of prosperity, the prayer is the same. No matter how rich you are, wake up in the morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Don't say it's a prayer for poor people. Don't think so. In the time of adversity, you used to utter that prayer 10 times a day. Believe me, when you are prospered, you need to utter it 15 times. It takes, I'm telling you, you need more spiritual power at that point. Because the other challenges you are going to be facing. When you were poor, pride was not your problem. How can you be proud? You are poor. What are you going to be proud of? Your old car? The people you are owing? What are you going to be proud of? But when your car wakes you up in the morning, starts itself, you know there are cars like that. I'm not joking. There are cars that will start themselves at appropriate times. They know when you are coming out, they warm themselves. My gas car that does this, from where he is, many cars are like that, not a big deal. Maybe it's in lecture hall, it's going to finish lecture and leave in 10 minutes. Press the button. The car starts and puts on the AC. It's the AC that's the reason. The car will come on, switch on the AC and be chilling the car. And as it approaches, the door will open. It won't swing open, but you hear the door unlock. I say, sir, what if somebody rushes and drives your car away? He said, no. He said, it's not going to happen. That once you put your foot on the brake, the key must be in a certain position. So you can open the door. You can open the door, but you can't drive the car off. That is when you become proud. Before that time, you can't be proud. If your neighbors are helping you push your car, you cannot be proud. You know why you can't be proud? You need them tomorrow morning. You know the kind of advice I've heard from people? You know people are used to hustling some things. This battery is not good. Say, move your manager until dry season. Have you heard that advice before? That we don't need to change the battery. Let's just manage it till rain stop. When rain stop, it's going to start by itself. Here's some kind of advice. You look like, are you joking? When you're in that situation, you can't be proud. But when your car is the other way, start becoming proud. That is why you need extra dose of the word. Because when pride comes in, falling is just a few years away. What is prayer? Prayer is that I take the word of God, I place it on my lips constantly. I don't have to be in need. I need to say that again. I don't have to be in need to pray. It is with prayer that the power of God flows constantly into my life and into my environment. What are we going to pray about today? There's no need for prayer point for the day. Like, what is it? You don't need to have a problem. What is today's prayer point? We want to just describe the Lord. Let's start. Father, we thank you. You are the one that made the heavens and the earth. We give you praise. Listen, that is the key to sanity. You know that? Societal sanity is dependent on what I have said. The constant giving of thanks to God. You want sanity in your home? Constantly teach your children to give God thanks. Was it here I was saying the other day? I told my children wanted to eat. We just happened to be on the dining, my wife and I. My daughter and her younger brother. They came to the dining table to eat, brought their food. And as soon as I looked up, I said, she was the one that started eating. I said, did I see somebody forgetting to pray? She opened her mouth like, ah! She said, sorry. So she now bowed her head. And my wife now reminded her that when your younger one is, when you people are many, the oldest will pray while everybody else says amen. All right? So the other guy bowed his head and she prayed. I said, Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Let it be nourishment to our system. I said, wait. Who put that nourishment aspect? She heard, I said, no. In this house, we don't pray for nourishment for our system. When it is Thanksgiving time, it is purely Thanksgiving time. So start again. Say, Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. We now started the lecture. I started teaching them. When you say thank you know what it means? Do you realize you are eating this food on the dining table? Yes, you are thanking God for the table. Did you walk? No. Where did the food come from? Who paid for it? They looked at my wife and I. I mean, you all paid for it. You know my point. So they looked. So I said, good. So when you say thank you are thanking God for mommy, you are thanking God for daddy. I said, did you go to the market? No. Did daddy go to the market? No. Did mommy go to the market? No. Who went to the market? I said, you are thanking God for the person that went to the market. Did you cook the food? You know, we kept on. I said, do you know when you even say thank you? You know, the farmer who did this needed the rain. So when you say thank you for this food, you are thanking God for the rain. You are thanking God for the farmer. We went through it like that. So let's not ever forget to say thank you. I told my daughter, that nourishment thing, let it be nourishment to our system. It's an addition that Jesus is not put there. Many of you do it. Stop it. It's not good. Full time, all God, all Jesus is to do what? Father, we give thanks. That's all. Give thanks for the food. Forget this adding, let it be. What was it going to be before? The Bible says it is sanctified by thanksgiving. It is nourishment to your system. Thanksgiving will kill the poison. What am I going to say? That's prayer. So sometimes we just get up and we just start thanking God. And that's the only prayer for the day. So no matter how much you have prospered, you will still have cause for that prayer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That's how you remember it. That it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. And just in case you have prospered, like the two people I gave as an example before, and they called you to your church to come and preach. Brother, let me just give you advice. There's what they call foundations. I taught a series, Foundations and Pillars of Financial Prosperity. Please, give people the foundations. Explain to them this is the foundation. Prosperity is a gift of God. It's not because I'm wise. Anything I tell you today is just the story of my life. Are you getting my point? Always remember to tell people, what I'm telling you today is what? The story of my life. The next person may have a different story to tell. Don't turn my life to keys. They are not keys. They are personal experiences. Let people know that God will give you your own personal experience. However, some things are constant for us as believers. Faithfulness. Walk in integrity. Faith, of course. Walking in faith, depending on God, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not being fixed on, if I don't get to America, I won't prosper. If I don't get to Lagos, I won't prosper. Knowing that God can bring prosperity from anywhere. Those are the principles you teach to Christians. And then when we have done that, remember Ecclesiastes, we relax. Then time and chance will happen. When time and chance have happened, people will now write stories on 5 keys to having chance, 7 keys to happen to having time. There is no key to time. There is no key to chance. I hope you have gotten my point. I'm preaching on prayer. Prayer is just taking the word of God and putting it on our lips constantly. The second thing we say, because of time, we'll stop it here. But which I was teaching the other day, when we're talking about the pursuit of God, is that we'll take the name of God and lift it up over anything that we are doing. Like when he said, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. What was he saying? Your blessing is of the Lord. Your protection is of the Lord. Favor is of the Lord. I led my brethren in prayer yesterday because we are praying towards our next convention. I said, brethren, let us just put the name of the Lord upon our convention, upon our association, upon ourselves individually. So I wrote a long confession in which we are just saying, protection is God, is of the Lord. Are you getting my point? Love is of the Lord. Favor is of the Lord. We are putting God's name on everything. Those are the two most important things about prayer. Prayer is not primarily about your desire. Pray about putting the word of God out there in your environment. I hope you got my point. Let's rise to our feet and pray some more, and then we'll close. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Again, this one is never too much, giving the Lord thanks. Let's start. Say, Lord, I thank you because your word is always there, always alive. Give thanks for that. It's very important. He said, you need to understand, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Say, Lord, every word. Thank you for every word. Give him thanks this evening for every word. Say, Lord, thank you for every word. Lord, I thank you for every word. Say, Lord, I thank you for every word. I thank you for every word that you have given to me. Thank you because your word is not scarce. It's not scarce. Thank him. There's a scripture. He said that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Believe me, your Bible in your hand is part of the fulfillment of that scripture. Everything around is part of the fulfillment of that scripture. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Very important. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have your word. Thank you. I have a place where I can study your word. I have brethren together who together we can study your word. We can discuss. Thank him. Thank him. Because this word is your life. This is your life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have life. In your word, I have life. Thank him again that you have passed out of death. You have passed into life. Why? He gave you faith in Christ. Even that one is a gift too. I'm convinced of it now. I'm convinced of it now. I'm convinced of it now. Once you open your heart, he poured faith into it. It's the reason why you can believe. The Red Prince will tell you that there is no explanation on earth why he gave his life to Christ. That it had to be the gift of God. That God just poured faith inside him. Because he was a logician. He had to reason it out and it did not make sense. Yet he believed. Thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you because you caused me to believe. Lord, I thank you because you have caused me to believe. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have caused me to believe. Give him thanks. Thank you. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Again, as we depart, lift the name of God over your head. Lift the name of God over your life. Declare, say, I am in God, the Father of the Lord Jesus. He is the source of my life. In him I live. I don't live by myself. I don't live by my heartbeat, not by my lungs, not by my liver, not by anything physical. But in him I live. My life comes from God, the Father of my Lord Jesus. I have life in you, Lord. I have life in you. I have life in you. I have life. Declare that God is the source of your life. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, is the source of your life. He gave Jesus to have life in himself. And Jesus has given you life. Say, Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Declare that Jesus is the one you are focused on. You're focused on him. Christ is your life. You're focused on Christ. You're focused. Lift him up over your head. Lift him up over your life. Say, every aspect of me is subject to Christ. Every aspect of me is subject to Christ. My plans, my ambitions, I subject them to Christ again today. Everything I subject them to Christ. Everything I subject them to Christ. I invoke the name of the Almighty God over my life again. Say, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Declare it, everything is in Christ. Let's begin to give him thanks for today. Say, Father, we thank you for your word that has come. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I want to just do something. All right, quick, let's just take this confession after me. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not
say,
want.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I am not afraid of economic downturn.
I'm not afraid of economic downturn.
Because God is my blessing.
Because God is my blessing.
Say, he is my blessing.
He is my blessing.
I am blessed with every spiritual blessing.
I am blessed with every spiritual blessing.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Say, all my needs are supplied.
All my needs are supplied.
I follow after righteousness. And all things are added to me. Say, the Lord is with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He encourages my heart. He strengthens my heart. Said, he strengthens my heart. In the time of difficulty, I am strengthened.
In the time of rejoicing,
I have strength.
When things are easy,
I have strength.
I still trust in him.
When things are hard,
I have strength.
I trust in him.
Say, I have a sound mind
because he restores my soul.
I am not confused
because the Lord restores my soul.
Say this,
he guides me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake,
my steps are ordered by the Lord.
I am led by the Spirit of Christ.
I have the Spirit of God.
I have the Spirit of Christ.
I walk in the will of God.
I walk in the plan of God for my life.
I don't walk in my ambition.
I walk in the plan of God.
I don't walk in my desires.
I walk in the plan of God.
Nevertheless,
not my will,
but his will.
It may be hard.
Nevertheless,
not my will.
but the will of my Father. It may be difficult,
nevertheless,
not my will, but the will of the Father. Say, I obey the will of the Father because His Spirit is inside me. Say, my soul follows hard after Him.
My soul
follows hard after Him.
As the deer pants for the water brooks,
so my soul follows after the Lord.
I walk in the will of God for my life.
Say, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil.
For the Lord is with me.
For the Lord is with me.
His rod and his staff,
they comfort me.
I like this part. He prepares a table before me
in the presence of my enemies.
He has anointed my head with oil.
It means I have divine enablement.
I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me.
I'm fulfilling the assignment of God for my life.
Say, on that day,
He will say to me,
well done,
good and faithful servant.
Say, I receive that by faith
in the name of Jesus.
I will not abandon my assignment.
I reject the spirit of Demas.
I will fulfill the call of God for my life.
You know, I was listening to Derek Prince. Derek Prince said at the age of 45, he said, I had nothing. No money, no home, no car, no plan, no ambition, nothing. He said, I had nothing at the age of 45. He said, the only thing he wanted was just to do the will of God. He said, if you know the story of my wife, that was his first wife who died. He said, she came from a very rich background. Then for about 20 years, she was in Israel helping, you know, just living there. Then together they left. He said, twice I've had to leave foreign homes at night, fleeing for his life or something. I left everything behind. He said, but when my wife died, he said, God called her home from the most beautiful home on this earth she had ever lived in. That is, she abandoned everything initially. But that when God began to bless him, he said, listen, that first of all, God has to show that there's nothing on this earth. Then he cannot give you everything and the ability to enjoy them. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, that is why he was, in fact, I listened to that message yesterday, very, very powerful. In fact, the message was titled, How to Enjoy Life on Earth. He said, you have to set your affection on the things in heaven. Are you getting my point? Such a beautiful message. If I'd never heard a more solemn message in my life, and I was talking to young people, talking in a very low voice. Powerful message. Very, very powerful. What am I trying to say? You can never abandon the reason why God gave you life. Because somebody said someone in that place is more comfortable. And he said something. He said, you will notice. For that one, I will examine it very well. He said, when the Lord gave out 10, well, he called it minors. I used to call it minors. All right? He said, the first one came. When he gave minors to his servants, give one mina. He said, your mina has made 10 more. He said, that one, he told him, well done, good and faithful servant. Be in charge of 10 cities. And that one came and said, your mina has made 5 more. He said, that one, he was not told, well done, good and faithful servant. He was just told, be in charge for five cities. What was he saying? Go for 10. He said, look, with God, there's no halfway. The man said, go for everything. Pursue it to the fullest. Because that is when you hear this word, well done, good and faithful servant. I want us to pray again. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
I will not be like Demas.
I will not be like Demas.
I will not let comfort take me away.
I will not let comfort take me away.
If I have to,
I will endure hardship.
Because I'm a true soldier of Christ.
Say,
I'm a true soldier of Christ.
Say,
I recognize
my life is not an accident.
I was born on purpose
to fulfill the will of God.
Say, the Lord anoints my head with oil.
My cup overflows.
I have everything I need
to do the will of God for my life.
Now declare, say,
surely
goodness,
mercy
will follow me
all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord
forever and ever.
Let's give the Lord thanks as we close. Just say, Father, we thank you.